really, the Facebook algorithm is not really a bad guy that will punish you at the first sign. It has a lot of patience, and if it's demoting your ads, it's because the amount of negative feedback you have accumulated, it's really huge.
Here we go. Welcome, everybody. This is the Social Marketing Nerds podcast. My name is Alexander, and I have a very special guest here today. But before we come to this, a quick explanation. The Social Marketing Nerds are an agency, as some of you might know, but we are hosting an event as well, the Ads Camp, a conference completely dedicated to advanced Facebook and Instagram advertising. Ads Camp took place in May this year and will take place on the 4th and 5th of May next year. Sale already started. And our special guest today was a speaker at Ads Camp this year, and he explained everybody the magic and mystery of the Facebook algorithm. So welcome, Antonio Calero, Head of Marketing Services for Ad Espresso, author, speaker around the world, and deep into Facebook ads for more than 10 years. Welcome, Antonio.
Thank you, Alexander. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on the show. And thank you for having me on Ads Camp last month, I think.
Yeah, well, May. So did you enjoy your time there?
It was fantastic. It was my first time in Cologne, beautiful city. We were quite lucky with the weather, and the event was magnificent.
Ah, happy to hear that. So for our short introduction, we always ask, could you just explain your role at Espresso? Although I think everybody knows the tool, you could say a few words on that.
Well, we should say Ad Espresso by Hootsuite, because as you know, Ad Espresso was acquired by Hootsuite a couple of years ago, actually 3 years ago now. So we are now part of the Hootsuite family. And my role at the company is I'm in charge of a team delivering services to our clients. We have different levels of services, from the basic entry point, which is basically we audit your Facebook campaigns or your Google campaigns. We cover Google ads as well, to coaching sessions, one-on-one coaching, to the fully managed services, where we actually take control of your account and we run ads on your behalf, of course, in consultation with you. We have a team of different consultants all over the world. And yeah, that's basically my role.
Great, great. I already said you're into Facebook ads for more than 10 years. Could you tell us, how did that start?
No, not so long. 9 years.
Oh. Okay, 9 years.
Very, very close. Look, back then I was living in Australia, and I had just started to work in a marketing agency. And that agency was specialized in loyalty programs and things like that. It was not a traditional advertising agency, but one of the big clients, they were quite interested in running Facebook ads campaigns. And I was a typical guy that I'm not a technology guy. I'm not a developer myself, but I find myself quite comfortable with technology. I know I like gadgets and all that. So what happened in the agency? And they were lost. They had no idea what were Facebook ads, what to do. But hey, we have a new guy. So if things succeed, we could take the credit. And if things fail, we could blame the new guy who is good with technology. So that was my task. They told me a couple of weeks before Christmas that I had like 3-4 weeks to get up to speed with Facebook ads. And the funny thing is that back then, there were no blogs, no books, no information about how to run Facebook ads. So basically, I need to do my best and test everything by trial and error. And that's how I got into Facebook ads.
Yeah, great. Well, actually, trial and error is still the method to go to.
So, yeah, but it's a bit risky when your client is asking you to spend $2,000 a day. So that's a lot of money. You think, okay, if I fail, that will be a lot of money. So that put a lot of pressure on me. On the other hand, no one in the world really knew about Facebook ads, so the chances of discovering a failure were quite little.
Yeah, great. So today we are going to talk about the magic thing, the Facebook algorithm. And as you probably know, or definitely know, a lot of advertisers say, well, it's simply driving me crazy. I don't understand a thing. So just to give a short overview, what would you say, what's the purpose of the algorithm?
Well, algorithms were created to help help humans. It's basically a super complex formula with lots of different variables and lots of external inputs. It's something that humans cannot process. We need computers to process these super complex equations or formulas. And the purpose of them is to help us replicate human behavior or predict human behavior or analyze data. Things that for a normal human will take a lot of time. Algorithms can do that in a short time frame. Now, the problem is that sometimes algorithms fail. I mean, they have been programmed, but there's always some people programming them. They have lots of components, so they're not perfect. Sometimes they fail, and Facebook, as well as Google, they keep adjusting the algorithm every single day. But the reality is they were not created to make our life miserable. They were created to help us. And the way they can help us is if we understand how they work.
Yeah. And that's where the problem starts, basically, because a lot of people don't just look at it as a kind of a black box and don't have any clue of how, of what happens inside the box. Although I know you really can't understand what's happening inside the box, but at least how it should help you or what the different steps are. So, and as I understood what you said at AdsCamp, so there were a couple of steps where the algorithm really kicks in, starting right with the approval of an ad, and then just there are more steps to come. So could you give an overview of how that happens?
Yeah, exactly. There are like different steps, and many of these steps happen simultaneously. What I explain on AdsCamp is like an oversimplification to show people each of these single steps. But remember, many of these steps happen at the same time. So the first one is when you click the submit button, your campaign is ready, you click submit, and it goes to Facebook. And that moment, the campaign doesn't go live yet because Facebook needs to approve it. There's a double component to this approval process. One is controlled by humans, and the other one is controlled by algorithm. Because every day there are like thousands of campaigns that need to be approved. Facebook has a lot of staff controlling these campaigns, but they cannot manage so many campaigns. So that's when the algorithm enters, and that's a pre-approval of the campaign. Basically, the algorithm reads the ad copy in different languages and identifies if there are any rude words, if there's any scammy text, abuse of emojis, abuse of capitalization, this thing. The algorithm is also able to identify if the image has any text. Remember that if you have more than 20% text on the image, the campaign, it won't be blocked, but it will deliver more slowly. So the algorithm is also able to identify this. Also the targeting, for instance, if you are advertising alcohol to underage people, it will block the campaign. So it's analyzing a lot of factors. And then oftentimes the algorithm approves the campaign. But then what happens? As I've said before, it's not perfect. And sometimes it happens that people come to us saying, hey, my campaign was approved like 1 week ago, and now these ads got rejected. Why is that? Well, because the human got in and the human understood that the algorithm skipped something important or something was not correctly analyzed. And that's why sometimes campaigns got approved and then disapproved, or vice versa. Sometimes happens the other way around. Sometimes happens the algorithm keeps analyzing those campaigns and rejects the campaign for the wrong reason, okay? Yeah. Things that some image in the text is contains nudity, and it's not. It's just in the shape of some object. So that's the reason why it's very, very important when your ads got rejected to appeal, because oftentimes those appeals are successful and Facebook will let the campaign run. And then after that, that's the approval process. After that, The algorithm keeps doing a lot of things. First of all, your ad goes into an auction, understands what's your budget, what's your bid, see how many competitors are trying to reach the same audience as you, identifies those users, start showing. So there are a lot of things that the algorithm is doing. But I think we will talk about each of these things later on during the conversation.
Yeah, it's getting, well, the first step, the approval basically is algorithm running through a checklist, basically whether you match criteria and doing interpretation on your ad. And then it really gets a little more sophisticated, right? So when it's matching, because we basically, the approval is just the first step of what we do, as you just said. And then it's a question of what kind of people do we want to reach out to? So what are our potential customers? So basically targeting, and that's where some magic happens, right?
Yeah, exactly. The algorithm first approves the campaign. Let's say the campaign has a green light, and then you need to show your ad to some people. And Facebook needs to identify that people. Now, imagine, let's forget algorithms for a moment. Let's remember that we are humans. And I asked you to go out to the main square there in Cologne, where it was the train station and the cathedral, beautiful square. And I gave you some pamphlets. And I asked you, look, you need to give these pamphlets to women. Well, that would be quite easy. You just need to identify women in the street and give them those pamphlets. I'm going to add one condition. I need to say, make sure that they are not handing any other piece of paper or pamphlets in their hands. Still quite easy task to do. But now imagine that I tell you, no, you need to give this only to women age 35 to 45 who are blonde, who are wearing glasses, are wearing a hat, and red heels. Well, that will be more complicated. You need to analyze each of these women you found in the street, make sure they meet the criteria, make sure they are not handing another piece of paper or pamphlet, and that complicates things. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be asking you to have delivered X amount of pamphlets. So I'm making your work much harder. That's, at the end of the day, when you get paid, I need to pay you more money because your work was much harder than in the first scenario. So that's pretty much what happens with the algorithm. If we are targeting a super general campaign, a quite spammy campaign targeting everyone, it's quite easy for Facebook to find people out there. The cost of the campaign will be relatively cheap. Of course, costs depend on a range of different factors, of seasons, of the market, of currency, but let's say it will be easier for Facebook. On the other side of the spectrum, if you do the magic word that people love, retargeting. I'm going to do a retargeting campaign. I'm going to show my ads only to people seeing my website and so on, certain criteria. Well, that's great. But you need to remember that it will be more complicated for Facebook to find those users. And make sure that you win the auction. Make sure that there are no other competitors targeting these people. So it will be more complicated and therefore more expensive. So that's the reason why the more narrow your targeting, the more expensive your campaign will be. The ideal point will be somewhere in between a super broad campaign and a super targeted campaign. Somewhere in between is the ideal balance point where campaigns are not too expensive and you will still be getting results.
And this is basically the point where you, as an advertiser, as a marketer, have to bring in your knowledge. Where's the balance, basically, right? So this is not this job is not done by the algorithm. You just have to see what's worth it.
Exactly, but it's important for you to understand that why the algorithm is making the campaign more expensive. It's not because Facebook wants to penalize you or wants to get your money. It's because it's more complicated for the algorithm to find that people. So as you said, you as a marketer need to make a decision about where's my sweet point. Is it in the super broad targeting? Is it in the super hyper retargeting campaign? Somewhere in between, and then make your decision based on your budget, based on different criteria.
Yeah, I think that's very valuable, just to understand it so that your people can make informed decisions on how whether they're going more broad or narrow, or test out what's the effect of things is basically. So and then. So we're going there with our audience, right? I define my audience. I know there are 160,000 people in it. I run my my campaign, and then I see that I don't reach all these people. Why is that?
Well, because again, algorithms were created to replicate human behavior and to help us and make our process faster. So, in the same way that the organic algorithm, because we have a paid algorithm, we have an organic algorithm. In the same way that the organic algorithm, when you post something on your page, you know that your reach is never going to be 100%. You will be lucky if you get like 10, 15%, depends on your page size, you get more or less reach. And the reason for that is because the algorithm is replicating human behavior in the sense that some people may be following your page, but over time they have stopped engaging with your content. And that means that for some reason they are not interested anymore. So the algorithm thinks, why is the reason to show these people content that they are not interested about? Therefore, I'm going to stop showing them the content. So similar thing happens with the paid algorithm. The paid algorithm basically replicates human behavior. And what it does, it sorts all those users. Let's say you have a target audience of, let's imagine, I don't know, 1,000 people, for example, okay? So the algorithm will sort all these people from the one that it thinks is the most likely to perform your action. Let's say your action, your conversion is buy something on your website. So from the number one will be the user that algorithm thinks is most likely to go to your website and buy from you. User number 1,000 is the one that the algorithm thinks is the less likely to perform that action. And it puts all these people in order. Now, it starts showing the ad to user number one, and then user number two. User number three was not connected that time, so it skips to user number four. User five. User six, you were outbid. Because remember, we still in this game, we have competitors. Some of your competitors were targeting user number six, so your ad won't be shown to that user. And so on. It gets to a point that maybe user number one doesn't convert because, I don't know, they were busy with live, they liked the ad, but they didn't click through, they didn't convert. It gets to a point that by the time the algorithm has reached user number 200, 300, again, figures are just an example. It's not exactly like that. But by the time the algorithm has reached user 200 or 300, they understand, Facebook understands that if the chances of having user number 301 converting are much, much lower than having user number one converting. And therefore, instead of going through that line, it goes again to user number one, and then user number four, and then user number six, because those users didn't see your ad, and so on. So it gets to a point that Facebook keeps showing the ad to the same people. You had an audience of 1,000 people, but you are not going to reach all these people because you are telling Facebook, I want to optimize my campaign for conversions. So Facebook thinks, okay, past the user number 200 or 300, you're not going to get any conversions. So I'm going to stay with these people. And that's the reason why we never reach my whole audience.
Yeah. And that's, well, that, as you said, it really depends a little bit on the, there are things happening at the same time. It's not just how likely they are to do the action that we want them to do, whether it's just click or purchase, and purchase is definitely more difficult to find. And then it would be the question as well of what our bid is, right? So it's
yeah, exactly. I'm assuming in this case you have won the auction, but as you said, sometimes you get outbid by some of your competitors. And very important, remember that on Facebook, when we say the word competitor, we are not talking about the market competitor. If you are Volkswagen, your competitors are not a Mercedes or BMW or whoever. Competitors could be any company trying to reach the same target audience as you are targeting. So if your target audience is males 25 to 35, anyone, a gym, a bookstore, a holiday hotel, any of these places could be your competitor on Facebook because they are trying to reach the same audience.
Yeah. And this is definitely something a lot of people miss out, or at least classical brands miss out, that they're basically competing with everybody who's putting in a coin on the desk and saying, I want these people to be reached. And at AdsCamp, you told something about basically about the objectives and in context with retargeting. So as people usually go and say, well, what do I want from people? And they say, well, I want them to buy something, right? So have a hard conversion in the end. And then they start a campaign. And if they're, well, let's say they're clever, they're not just trying doing here Mary on the First Date, but trying to build a funnel. But then retargeting starts and they say, well, basically, I want them to buy now. So I just put the objective, I want them to purchase. So I put this in Facebook. And at AdsCamp, you suggested, well, if I already know people, then do something different.
Exactly, because people think, okay, I want to get conversions, therefore I'm going to optimize for conversions. That sounds very simple. But as I already explained, if you do that, Facebook will keep showing your ad only to those people who are most likely to convert. Now, that could work in a cold audience. Let's say you have a cold audience, you are running campaigns optimized for conversions. I don't think that would be the best strategy. In a cold audience, you should probably start with different kind of funnel. But again, for the sake of this example, let's say that's the case. Well, it could work. The algorithm is focusing just on those users that are most likely to go to your website, buy from you, and so on. But now we are talking about retargeting campaign. And let's assume it's a good retargeting, because we have also bad retargeting. You could be retargeting anyone visiting your website in the past 180 days. That's not really good retargeting, because people who have been on your website 4 months ago, maybe they don't remember who you are. So let's assume a good retargeting. Retargeting people who were on your website, visited different pages on your website, started the shopping process, and then in the last moment, they drop off. So these people know who you are, they know your brand, they know your offering exactly, and you're targeting these people in the past, let's say, 7 days. Let's assume you have an audience of 100, 500 people of those. Why on earth would you like Facebook to not show the ad to all of these people, but choose the ones that, in its opinion, are most likely to convert? You don't want that to happen. All these people, not your brand, they've been on your website. Remember, we are talking about a good, proper targeting. So you don't want Facebook to make the decisions for you. You want to reach as many of these people as possible. Again, you won't be reaching 100% of them because you may be outbid. Some of these people may connect to Facebook once a week or so on. But you want to reach as many as possible. And that's why in a proper retargeting campaign, I found that it's much better to optimize for reach than optimizing for conversions or optimizing for clicks.
Yeah, that is, well, the idea is so simple, and really just common sense helps you with that, right? So if you have a very qualified audience, already qualified audience, why would you bother trying to drill it down even more if you know that you're already on a level where people are quite likely to convert, right? This is the idea is really easy, and we have very positive experience with that.
Exactly. Of course, it depends on the size of your retargeting. Some people say, no, my retargeting is anyone who visited this page and my traffic is 10,000 people per day. Look, in that case, you may want to use Facebook's help to filter down or whatever. But most of the times, when you do a proper retargeting, audiences are quite small. I've seen audiences of maybe 1,000 people, maybe 10,000, but are not much larger than that. So in those cases, you really don't want Facebook to show your ad to only to 20, 50, 60% of the people. You want Facebook to show the ad to as many people as possible.
Yeah. And this is one of the things where I think it's you just have to think really actively and not just rely on, as Facebook said, just rely on the algorithm, but make a decision on what would work best for you, really, just and not just follow the path that is given to you, right?
Yeah.
So, there was another quite interesting thing. Some people asked me about after AdsCamp, as you said. Well, taking into account if it comes to the auction, then Facebook looks at your personal list. Have you behaved well, so to say? Not only is the ad okay, is there too much text and so on, but have you behaved well? And you said, well, even the history of the ad account is taken into account regarding the auction, which seem to be new to some people. So would you say that there does this mean anything for my strategy then? Should I open up new ad accounts more often, or should I just be very friendly?
No, well, you need to be mindful that the algorithm, it's not offering a fair game, in the sense that some people think, I have a big budget, my bid is quite aggressive, therefore I'm going to win all the auctions. Remember that these auctions are instantaneous. It's not like a we human think of an auction where different people are bidding. It happens super, super fast. So it's not as simple as that. You have like 10 different people and all of them bidding for same audience, but the highest bidder theoretically should work. That's how human auctions work. But in reality, it's not like that. The algorithm helps advertisers or punishes advertisers for good and bad behavior. For instance, like I said before, if your ad if the image of your ad has too much text, more than 20% text, the algorithm will penalize your ad and you won't get that much delivery, which basically means that in the case of equal conditions in an auction, you will be demoted. Let's say someone else will be let bidding before you are. And so even if your maximum bid was the same as somebody else's, they have bid before you did, so therefore you are on the second row. Also, history of your ad account, feedback of the campaign as well. So if your campaign has a lot of negative feedback, successive auctions will push you down in the auction. So which means that in equal conditions, your ad won't show as much. And that means that for you as a person, what you care about is your costs will be more expensive. The same number of impressions for you and than for other people will be more expensive. Your CPM will be more expensive. Also, Facebook remembers the historic feedback, negative or positive. If you have a lot of positive feedback, Facebook could even whitelist your account, and that means the approval process will be much faster and you will have priority in the auctions and so on. Your campaigns will be cheaper. That doesn't happen often. What happens often is Facebook blacklisting or even canceling ad accounts, because over time, every single campaign tends to get a lot of negative feedback, negative comment, campaign ad gets rejected and so on. So Facebook realizes that, and it could happen that your campaign gets approved because that particular campaign is not going against any of Facebook rules. However, when you go to the auction process, anyone would be outbidding you, because simply Facebook is punishing you for having such a bad historic negative feedback. So it's always important to just, instead of opening continuously a different ad accounts and so on, which is kind of a black trick that some people use, my advice would be make sure you create good accounts, your feedback is positive. And I know that some industries tend to collect more negative feedback than others. Industries like diets, for instance. Yeah. Some people are against these things and then tend to provide a lot of negative feedback. But it all depends on the quality of your ad, the quality of your message, and so on. Really, the Facebook algorithm is not really a bad guy that will punish you at the first sign. It has a lot of patience, and if it's demoting your ads, it's because the amount of negative feedback you have accumulated, it's really huge.
Yeah. A nice point of view. It sounds a little like human has a lot of patience. Yeah, but mimicking all human behavior, it's probably the right point to right way to look at it. Great. So, let's just assume that we have an account with a very positive history, and we are trying our best to build sustainable campaigns. Then there's usually people come to the point or very early where they say, well, the holy grail of everything is reaching out to people with lookalike audiences, right?
Yeah.
And what you say is basically that people are usually quite bad at building lookalike audiences. This is where the question mark is, because people usually say, well, I'm not doing it. Facebook does it. So could you explain that?
Yeah, lookalikes are a great tool offered by Facebook. But at the same, in the same way that I explained previously that some people do bad remarketing, there's also a lot of people and a lot of people that do bad lookalikes. Because the problem of a lookalike is that they are like a black box that only Facebook knows what's inside. But that doesn't mean that we cannot create a good lookalike. Some people just, lookalikes, remember, are always created based from a custom audience, from a source audience, okay? But the quality of the lookalike depends on the quality of that source audience. And that's where most people fail. They create crappy source audiences. In order for Facebook to create a good lookalike, Facebook needs to identify a good pattern in that source audience. The algorithm basically identifies patterns. And let's say you have an heterogeneous audience of 10,000 people. And that's a real example. It happened to me a few years ago. Someone provided me with a list of 10,000 email addresses, but there were people interested in online marketing. Now, online marketing is such a broad term that it includes males, females, young people, old people, people living in the cities, people living in the countryside. It was such a heterogeneous audience that, yeah, Facebook created a lookalike, but Facebook probably was not able to identify any good patterns. So that lookalike was also very heterogeneous, and the quality of that lookalike didn't provide any good results. On the other hand, I remember having another customer some years ago. It was a very small custom audience. They had probably like 200 or 300 people, but they were all customers from a tattoo shop, and they had all attended a concert of indie music. So people interested in tattoos and indie music. Only 300 people, from which Facebook probably identified 200 of them, because remember, when you upload a database into Facebook, Facebook never matches all those email addresses. So it was much smaller than the original, than the other client I was telling you about. But the quality of that lookalike was magnificent. Bam! Immediately, that lookalike started delivering results. Why? Because Facebook was able to identify some pattern. All these people were interested in tattoos, and this band, and that other band, and so on. So that's what it needs to be done to create a good lookalike. Make sure that the source audience from that lookalike is very good and is has some patterns. So again, like I said before with the retargeting, some people do a retargeting of anyone visiting my website, any page from my website, and you could create a lookalike from that. Well, let me tell you something, that won't be a good lookalike, because anyone could be on your website. Your competitors could be on your website, bots could go to your website. People that get lost in the internet, clicks on the wrong link, ends up on your website. So that's the reason why that custom audience is not a good custom audience, and therefore that lookalike won't be a good lookalike. But you create a lookalike from people who have purchased from you, or for people, if that's still too big, people who have purchased from you more than 3 times, or who have spent more than 200 euros from you in this past 6 months, or people who have purchased from you and are subscribed to your newsletter. That would be probably a much better custom audience, and therefore, the chances of having a good lookalike will be much higher.
Yeah, 100% agree. It is, I can only repeat it, it's really, the quality of the lookalike depends only on the quality of the custom audience, that on the audience that you have to build it. And if it's not specific, people sometimes seem to overestimate what the algorithm really can do at that point, and see, I'm just putting in 100,000 random contacts and somehow the magic will happen, but it simply won't. If there's no pattern, then nothing can happen.
Yeah, remember, algorithm is replicating human behavior. So yeah. If you as a human, let's assume you have like a 1 million years of life, you can have all the time available to analyze this information, but still you are not able to identify anything, the algorithm won't be able to do it either.
Yeah, that is something. Well, because it's so simple to build that lookalike audience, for some people it seems to be automatic. I have a custom audience, I build a lookalike audience, and they don't really bother looking at the quality of the audience. That is the foundation of it, and then they are sometimes surprised why it's not working. Yeah, totally. Yes, and then just switch the topic because, well, thinking about the magic that happens there in the algorithm, you gave a fantastic and alarming or great, whatever you call it, example at AdScam of what Facebook seems to know about you. When you were talking about your wife looking on her phone on a product, and you're getting the ads on your device later on without having ever visited that website, right? So
a lot of
people are concerned about this.
That thing happened again yesterday, and I remember about this incoming podcast. With a different company, different store, the same thing happened with me and my wife. It's really scary, but if you leave the fears aside and as a marketer try to analyze what's happening, it's quite interesting. Basically, what happened is I was on the car. I have a Facebook active Facebook account. I'm on Facebook every day. My wife has a Facebook account, but she hasn't been there for the past 2 years. She's not using it anymore. She uses Instagram, but quite little, same as me. We live in the same household, therefore we shared a router. And that's all the information you need to know for the moment. So basically, we were out of home in the car waiting for our kids to go out of school. And she showed me in her phone, she's using a different company provider, a different mobile provider than I am, okay? So basically, she showed me on her phone some furniture that she wanted to buy for our children. She was on this website seeing that furniture, okay? She showed me the different beds. She closed the phone. I take my phone off my pocket, go into Facebook, okay? I swear to God, I never been on that website in my whole life. And the first thing I see on my Facebook news feed is an ad for the same furniture that she was showing me a few minutes ago. How is that possible? Well, basically because the algorithm knows who we are, knows everything about us. I had not been on this company's website. Therefore, that's not retargeting. They were not retargeting me. But Facebook knows that even if she's not using Facebook anymore, but Facebook knows that we are connected. In the past years, we have shared a lot of images together. And so we have a lot of connections together, all our friends and so on. So even if she's not active anymore, Facebook knows that the relationship was there. Now, you could have got divorced or separated, but still, we are accessing the internet from the same IP address, same service provider at home. And now, when she was checking that on her phone, we are in the same GPS location, pretty much. So Facebook understands, okay, these people are still connected. They are looking for furniture for children. Therefore, they must have children in common. I'm going to show the ads to him as well. And that was fantastic because we ended up buying that furniture, of course. And as I told you, this thing happened again to me 2 days ago, this time with furniture for furniture. I don't know what's happening with the furniture companies. This time was furniture for our garden. And same thing, she showed me an ad. And a few hours later, I was seeing the same furniture on my Facebook newsfeed. Now, the bad news is that we as marketers, Facebook is not allowing us to use that information. Facebook is not allowing us to target based on GPS, on IP address, and so on. But the good news is that that information is there. And if you run good retargeting campaigns and you have your pixels in place and so on, chances are the Facebook algorithm will help you succeeding. Because Facebook knows that if you succeed with your campaigns, you will be spending more money with them.
Yeah. And basically, the information or the ad was relevant to you and you finally converted, right? Basically, I see this all the time with my girlfriend and probably mostly hotels targeting me or something where I have never dreamed of, but I know that she probably has. So probably the same thing. Great. And we already talked about how this the auction really in the end happens. And, you know, there are so many strategies out there, concepts, people saying, well, you have to do it like this regarding now it's mostly about CBO or our how to choose the objectives. And you at Espresso, you have an unbelievable data pool available at hand, seeing what people do and what's successful. Is there anything, are there any learnings from the last couple of months that you would like to share or can share?
Well, remember that Facebook is something quite dynamic. So it depends on when you listen to this podcast. We are recording in June 2019, but if you listen to this in September 2019 or 2020, chances are things will be different. So the first thing is to keep testing everything because things are dynamic. Things change all the time. Once said that, I've seen in the past 2-3 months great results in value-based lookalikes. And that's something I double-checked with another one of the speakers that were at SCAM, Andrew Foxwell. And he confirms the same thing. He has seen a great results in this value-based lookalike, which is basically a lookalike where you are telling Facebook, don't just get anyone in that pattern, but from these people you are identifying that pattern, do that calculation around this value that it's my conversion is like those many dollars, or that's the value of my conversion. So that's how Facebook algorithm creates those lookalikes. Those tend to be quite well. Again, maybe in a few months, things will change. I don't know. But at the moment, are working quite well. Another thing is we keep seeing an increase in advertising costs. It happened last year when Facebook had that Cambridge Analytica issue and that Facebook Zero announcement, that lots of advertisers jumped into Facebook and therefore costs increased. It happened mainly in the main markets, which are US, UK, Canada, and Australia. But now this year, we've seen this happening also in other markets, Germany, France, Spain. So CPMs are on the rise, and now we are in a calm season, but probably the time we get towards Christmas, October, November, it will be even more expensive. So that's a trend we've seen in the past, not a couple of months, probably more than a year now. So it's important when you are designing your strategy to keep this in mind. You cannot play with the same budget as you were playing last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. It's getting more competitive. It's getting more expensive. But still, the platform seems to be quite well compared with others. It's still worth it.
And that's the reason why it's important to know how the algorithm works, like I explained earlier. And if you are doing a super broad targeting, it will be cheaper. If you are optimizing for reach instead of optimizing for in conversions, campaign will be cheaper as well. So because things are more expensive, that's why you need to know how the algorithm works and make your decisions based around all these many factors that the algorithm is taking consideration.
Yeah. Antonio, thank you so much. We have three questions in the end that we always have. So one is really just connected to what we just said. Which of the past Facebook updates were the best, to your opinion?
Well, I hope I don't get the blame from many people, but honestly, when Facebook decided to decrease the reach of pages and promote the reach of friends and family and connection, I think that's great. And many advertisers may hate me because of what I'm saying right now. But if all the content from Facebook was pages and brands, even if they are brands that you like, chances are you will not be logging into Facebook every single day. You go to Facebook because you want to see what your friends and family are doing. And yes, some brands that you love are still there, but that's not the norm. So if Facebook was still allowing more and more and more of that content to take priority over personal connections, there would be fewer users going to Facebook, and therefore the platform will fail. So when recently Facebook has announced that they are promoting content from personal connections, from friends and family, I think that's really a great move, and I totally agree with that.
Okay. And which updates or changes in the ad platform would you like to see in the future? Is there anything that you would like to change?
Well, if I have a magic wand, I like to have some transparency over lookalikes, for instance. I understand Facebook is not gonna let me know who are the people inside that lookalike, but at least let me know some demographics or the patterns they have identified or so on. That would be great to have. there are ways of doing this. You put a lookalike and then you intersect that lookalike with some interest, and based on the audience size, you will be able to see if that interest fits in that lookalike or not. But still, it's a long thing that you need to be doing, takes a lot of time. So it would be great if Facebook says, look, this lookalike, it's mainly around women that age, and it will give you some clues. It would be probably great. If I had a magic wand and I could ask for a wish, I think that could be my first wish.
Totally. I would subscribe to that. Absolutely. So, and last, where can our listeners contact or find more about you?
Well, I think directly at our company page at espresso.com. Remember, espresso written with a double S, not with an X, like Italians do. And my name is Antonio, so that will be quite easy, antonio@espresso.com.
Thank you so much. So, Antonio, thank you for these very valuable insights on the algorithm. I think it will help a lot of people. And hope to see you again at AdsCamp.
Remember? Hope to see next year, yes.
Next year, 4th and 5th of May. 5th of May is only English speaking. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me in the show, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you'd like to learn more about AdsCamp, the conference completely dedicated to advanced Facebook and Instagram advertising next May in Cologne, then go to adscamp.com and you will find much more information. So thank you, and I hope I see you there.